didn't get the opportunity to do it in the first hour because, you know, the Gremlins at the studio. What do you think, man? Like, your name's in lights. You get the voice over there. I also love in the imaging that in the open to the show that it's me like ranting and raving about like morons on social media. And then it's you offering like the most like down the middle, like mathy take and like about the, the NBA after the James Harden trade to the Brooklyn Nets. Like a really, very funny dichotomy there.
It was, I mean, in one way, it perfectly encapsulates the best thing about our show, but it's also so stereotypical. Like with Nick Kostos, everyone's stupid except me and Ken Barkley. Well, it's a 3-point deduction for, I mean, it's the absolute extreme.
Actually, honestly, it could have played for both of us. Nick Kostos, everyone's stupid except me. And then Ken Barkley, everyone's stupid except me.
Except us. Welcome. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome to the show where we think we're better than you and we're operating from the ivory tower. No, in all seriousness here, great to have everybody on the show that's listening live nationally on radio.com sports, the radio.com app. Shout out to our new listeners here on the bet, 1430 a.m. in Denver. Hello, Denver. Hello, Denver. And 93.1 HD3 in Los Angeles. Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley, a.k.a. Locky Lockerson, here with you, bringing you the wagertainment to help you win money on all things sports betting. Everyone download the BetQL app, which is absolutely awesome. All the tools you need to beat the sportsbook. Use promo code Kostos at checkout for 15% off any subscription. Visit BetQL.com and download the BetQL app today. You know, today at some point, like not like right now, because we want you to, you know, keep listening to the show, maybe during the break. You can download the BetQL app, but don't do it now during the break because it is absolutely awesome. We are now honored. The first guest on You Better You Bet in this season 3 on the bet. It really could be no one else. You know, Captain Ahab, I don't think he ever got like his white whale, right? Like, did he ever get Moby Dick? Did Moby Dick eat him? He ate him, right?
I think you're exposing our lack of literary knowledge by doing this, I think.
Whatever. All I know is that, you know, Captain, what, call me Ishmael is the first line of the book. I know that. In any event,
that's as far as we
go. I don't think Captain Ahab ever got the white whale, but we have landed our white whale as the first guest here in the history of You Better You Bet on the bet. And it is our friend Drew Densick, better known to you and yours as the Whale Capper. He is on Twitter at @whale_capper. He is one of the best in the business, hosts the Deep Dive podcast. You see him on Roto World, NBC Sports. Our man is blowing up, joining us to talk National Football League. And we'll get to the NBA in a little bit. Whale, welcome back to You Better You Bet on the bet. I'm sure Tyler and Eli told you, but no cursing because we're on terrestrial now. If we want to avoid those FCC fines. How you doing, my brother? How did Championship Sunday treat you and yours?
Oh, hey. So Nick, Lockie, great to be on. Congratulations. It is very, very, very cool that you guys have made the leap back in crossing over internet and terrestrial space now. This is awesome. I think the future continues to trend in the right direction for You Better You Bet. And, you know, this is a huge, huge day for you. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And it makes a lot of sense. You're our first guest because I think we literally have had you on every single Monday during the NFL season. And I'm also going to be honest, we haven't talked about we've been on for an hour so far. We haven't talked about the Super Bowl one time yet. So I wanted to go through, obviously, some of the thoughts from the games that happened yesterday. But like, we probably need to start talking about the Super Bowl at some point. So hopefully we'll do that during this interview as well. Let's start with the coaching decisions, because
Eli's got the electrodes lined up to like shock us. We don't get that yet. So
you see this cord? This cord, for people who are watching this, actually, this goes to an unmentioned. The idea of you know, LaFleur's decision at the end of the Packers game, McDermott's decisions in the second half, end of the first half, start of the second half in the Bills Chiefs game, these settling for field goals in situations where an aggressive decision is probably required. I said before our last break, these are the best of the best. These are like the coach of the year candidates. This is the best we have to offer, and there are a lot of reasons why that's actually true. But in this specific situation, I feel like they failed. I think Nick feels like they failed. I think a lot of people watching feel like they failed. How did you feel when you were watching those decisions unfold yesterday?
Well, the Matt LaFleur kicking the field goal instead of going for it on fourth and goal was surreal. Like, I didn't understand what I was watching. Like, it was like, no, he's not trotting out. Is there a trick play? Are they, you know, are they trying to lull the Buccaneers to sleep somehow? What's going on here? But no. That was their intention to kick that field goal. And I thought it was a pretty bad decision myself. I know that there's, you know, kind of a raging analytical hard-o debate about the math one way or the other in terms of a win probability. But by making that decision, I think you introduce the highest risk and give yourself the lowest probability of winning the game. There is no way to score enough points by kicking the field goal to tie the game. And there is a very real chance that when you do so, that is the last offensive play you run for the entire game. And it ended up playing out that way. That kind of reinforced a lot of people's, kind of gut reaction in the moment, which was, great job there, guys. You know, like you really, in a vacuum, you really thought that the way your defense was performing on this day, that they were going to be good enough to get you a stop and get you the ball back? Really? Like after getting exposed on third and long consistently in the first half of the game, realistically not being able to put up much of a defense against, what was a pretty vanilla game plan for the Buccaneers, you thought, in the high leverage moments of this game, you were actually going to be able to get a stop? Like, I don't think it was a defensible decision. I don't think, I don't think I don't think it went well in the locker room. And, you risk putting a ton of strain on a team that you're only, 2 years into a head coaching, job with if you're LaFleur. And, there's going to be a tumultuous offseason in Green Bay after, what went down. And, I thought you have the MVP of the league. You haven't had good luck in the red zone on this day, but so what? Like, you have a dynamic playbook. You come up with, you practice all season for exactly that moment, so that on that fourth down, you have your best stuff in terms of, your highest likelihood of scoring that touchdown and tying the game. And rather than even try, they kick the field goal and wave the white flag. It was really, really strange. And, the McDermott kicking field goal situation was equally head scratching because he's been so aggressive and so, kind of right-minded over the course of the season. And yet, twice in that game, making a 12-point lead, a 9-point lead, now, you needed two scores. Well, now you need two scores. So great job. Like, you've done nothing. I think it's been, glossed over in general because it wasn't really like they had a ton of opportunity to stop the Chiefs in that game. But in the moment, the decision-making was really quite poor, I thought. And they did not set themselves up to compete. So it was disappointing for both of those coaches. And for sure, we didn't really have an idea of what in-game decision-making LaFleur was going to look like in a high-leverage spot. And now that we do, I don't like it. And similarly, McDermott kind of, spacing out there was disappointing as well.
Yeah, Matt LaSlap and Slap McDermott, as I call them now after their performances on Championship Sunday. It is You Better You Bet on the Bet. Shout out to our new listeners, 1430 AM in Denver. Hello, Denver, and 93.1 HD3 in Los Angeles, and everyone listening on Radio.com Sports and the Radio.com app. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, a.k.a. Lockie Lockerson, bringing you the Wagertainment. Our guest at this time, Drew Dinsick, @whale_capper on Twitter. All right, well, you gave us a great breakdown there. Championship Sunday. Ken and I both agree with you. Mind-numbing coaching decisions from LaFleur and McDermott, and should be no surprise that given all the criticism we just levied on those coaches, that their teams are going home, leaving only two in the quest for the Lombardi Trophy. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs back again in the big game, and Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Drew, the opening line right now, or the line where it sits right now over at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook, deposit $250. You get a $250 match. Your hometown sportsbook, Bet Rivers, BetRivers.com. Kansas City laying 3, total of 56. We've seen this total already come down a point and a half already, down from 57 and a half, down to 56. I know it's early. Look, content providers in this space, we're going to be talking a lot about the same game for the next 2 weeks, so get used to it here. Buckle up. Your initial thoughts here. Kansas City laying 3 against the Bucs, total of 56 on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I think Kansas City is the right side. I don't think it's an accident that they're, some of the market-making books are asking you to lay a pretty aggressive price if you want the -3. I think the first time these two teams matched up, it was end of November. Not all that different in terms of roster composition. I guess we've lost a couple of offensive linemen for the Chiefs since then, but otherwise these are pretty much equivalent rosters. And I thought in the first matchup, Kansas City was the right side. They just happened to get backdoored and that game lands on 3. But 3.5 is where I think we're going here. I would guess that maybe, by midweek or so, the standard line across all of these shops is probably 3.5. I don't think there's a ton of, I don't think there's a ton of reason to ask people who are, you know, so willing to get in bed with the Chiefs in their second Super Bowl run here, asking them to lay 3.5 instead of 3, that's not going to shy a lot of people away from this, I don't think. And so I would guess that we end up, you know, moving across the key number there. Now, even at 3.5, I can still talk myself into the Chiefs on the right side here. Certainly the fact that you have the better quarterback is, you know, is important, but, and, you know, you have the better coach, and it's by a non-significant amount. I mean, Andy Reid is coaching he's at an exceptional level all season. It's really quite impressive the way he can flip the switch and get the most out of this team. And I think that, you know, that continues going up against a pretty aggressive defense and, you know, Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that plays right into the strength of the Chiefs. So I think the Chiefs will end up ultimately being the side I have more invested in for this game. I haven't made any bets yet, but again, you know, I think the 3 is going to 3.5. And at the current VIG at some of the market making shops, I don't think there's a huge difference really between those two. Now, you know, Tampa Bay can score, obviously. And when you want to know, is a team live against the Chiefs, that's kind of the most important point. And Tampa Bay, clearly, they can score. Now, I'm not, like, overwhelmingly impressed by their offensive scheme and approach. In fact, they didn't really pay any consequence for having a pretty minus EV strategy in the first half of the game against Green Bay yesterday. There were a lot of first down, second down runs that, you know, didn't really manifest much in terms of, you know, moving the ball or really giving them a chance to, you know, move the sticks. And it really left it up to Brady to kind of hit some high leverage throws in those third and longs early in the game, which he was able to do. And at some point your luck runs out doing that, even though you have some of the better weapons in football and your receiving staff, for the Tampa Bay Bucks. But, I don't think, the Chiefs defense is getting a ton of credit for the level of play that they're playing, especially of late, they effectively held the Bills down to what, nine points or so. If you want to get rid of the touchdown that was scored off of the muff punt. You know, if you want to kind of scrutinize some of the garbage time points, that was a really complete and solid game by the Kansas City Chiefs defense. And I think, you know, they match up reasonably well against, you know, a Tampa Bay offense that, you know, when it's clicking on all cylinders is very difficult to stop, but has shown us a tendency at times, even in this playoff run, to make minus EV decisions in the sequencing and the play calling.
Well, we have about 60 to 90 seconds left before we have you back on, talk about some NBA, but two things I want you to speak on that people are already kind of thinking about for the Super Bowl. Does this have an impact on you on whether you will bet the game? One, the idea that Tampa has any home field advantage at all for playing the game, any even 0.0001 points. Does that matter to you whatsoever? And then the impact of Eric Fisher being out for the Chiefs. Obviously, we have not seen a game yet with them playing where he has not played. Those two things, how do they factor in your decision in about a minute?
And again, just to reiterate, 60 to 90 seconds here, Will.
Yeah,
60 would be good.
Home field advantage is zero for me heading into this game, and the impact of Eric Fisher, while I care about it, is not going to move the needle for me one way or the other, because Pat Mahomes is so dynamic when he breaks the pocket.
You can give us a little more than that, man.
So Eric, no, we'll go specifically. We'll go specifically to the Eric Fisher thing. Eric Fisher is out. Yes, that's not great. He's your left tackle. He's the blindside tackle for Mahomes. That's not great. But Mahomes clearly, you know, with 2 weeks to heal from the foot injury, he's going to be more mobile. And realistically, going up against a defense that can really only generate pressure when they blitz, that's going to leave guys on islands, the athletes for the Chiefs running amok down the field, that they're just going to be wide open. Mahomes is going to hit some home runs in this game.
All right, well, so you said you think Kansas City's the right side here. Do you have a thought on the total here? 10 seconds or less, and 10 does not mean 2, like in Home Alone. It actually means 10.
I'm probably going to end up on the over, but I think it's going to keep coming down to about 54.
We're going to give you 10 seconds here to get your yellow, ugly. 1, 2, 10. No, we actually meant 10. We actually meant 10 seconds here. All right, so this is Drew. We appreciate it, man. So normally on You Better You Bet, as the first ever live sports betting podcast, we just do like 40 minutes straight with our guy Will. Will is kind enough and has agreed to stay with us through these breaks, which are monstrous, by the way, which are awesome because we get paid the same amount of money to talk less, which is really great. Will is nice enough to join us for the next segment here. So we got Will's thoughts. Listen, just being honest, we got Will's thoughts on the Super Bowl. Coming up after this, Whail is also an accomplished NBA veteran. You can check out his stuff, NBC Sports, Roto-World, and his podcast is the Deep Dive Podcast, breaking down the National Basketball Association. Ken and I will give all our picks for every NBA game on the board tonight. Coming up next hour in the Power Hour, but coming up right after this, our buddy Drew Dinsick is going to stay with us, and we will hit the NBA slate for tonight and all the big picture storylines in the association. It's all coming up right after this on You Better You Bet. You are locked and loaded to the bet.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on The Bet.
You Bet rolls on. It's a season three premiere of You Better You Bet on The Bet. Shout out to all our recurring listeners on the radio.com app, radio.com/You Better You Bet. And to all our new listeners, hello, Denver, 1430 a.m. in Denver. Great to be with you. It's great to also be in the City of Angels. That's Los Angeles for the uninitiated. 93.1, 83 in LA. We are loving it here on the BetQL Audio Network, known, of course, as The Bet, bringing you the wagertainment. If you are new to You Better You Bet, what we do here is wagertainment, analysis, picks, information, mixed with the laughter and the entertainment. We're going to make you better bettors and put a smile on your face in the process. Download the BetQL app for assistance, in addition to us, to win all your wagers. They've got all the tools you need to beat the sportsbook. Use promo code Kostos, K-O-S-T-O-S. That's my last name. At checkout for 15% off any subscription. My voice, which you may be hearing for the first time, in which case, I apologize. I am Nick Kostos, joined alongside Ken Barkley. He is on Twitter at Lockie Lockerson. I am on Twitter at The Kostos. And our guest is on Twitter at Whale_Capper. And he is Drew Dinsick, back with us for another segment to talk some association. Whale, welcome back to the show. It's been 5 minutes since we last spoke. Great to have you back with us here. When we have you on Monday, so our regular listeners know Drew well because he's on with us literally every week on You Better You Bet on Monday to wrap up NFL Sunday. So we have not done a lot of NBA with you, Drew. In addition to being an accomplished NFL bettor, you're also an accomplished NBA bettor. So let's start with some macro NBA before we get to the micro. What have been some of your takeaways in this, the most unique of all NBA seasons? And I think that includes the bubble that we saw at the end of last year.
Yeah, no, it has been unique. And honestly, we're just starting to emerge from what was pretty clearly sort of an extended preseason that was the first quarter of the season. You had to be, you know, and we've kind of, it's not like we're getting honest efforts out of every team every night now, even. But, you know, the first month of the season, there was a lot of, you know, very suspect gamesmanship by some of the teams that you would have thought would be in the mix for, you know, for title contention, no showing against some of the bottom feeders on any given night. And it's made it tough to handicap. And now we're entering a part of the season where fatigue and injuries are starting to stack up big time. You know, looking across the meaningful players in the league who are questionable for tonight, for Wednesday, it's going to be a very tough road to navigate player absence. And, you know, in the offseason, kind of expecting that there were going to be surprise COVID absences all throughout the season, I pivoted a lot of my approach to looking at player level impact and trying to have a better idea of what a certain player means to the price. But even in doing that, from the last handful of years, and then seeing how these same exact metrics are measuring players this year, there's some variabilities all over the place. Like a lot of guys who, you know, made middling impacts in years past are hugely important this year, and vice versa. We're seeing some of the stars, some of the, you know, the regulars that you expect to be, you know, huge contributors really aren't making, you know, aren't moving the needle much. And I think it's going to continue to be a very challenging NBA handicap over the, you know, the rest of this middle of the season here, but you are seeing the cream rise to a degree. And I think all along it's been fair to assume that the Lakers ought to be, you know, it's theirs to lose more or less. I mean, not as strong as say Warriors when they first got Durant, you know, that they had that much of an advantage over the rest of the association, but I think pretty clearly they have, you know, a pretty strong advantage. And a lot of the teams that we expected to challenge them in the Western Conference have been underwhelming. And so, you know, I think them having a relatively clean path to the Western Conference Finals and realistically the NBA Finals, you know, and the fact that they started out pretty strong, they haven't used this time of the calendar to help kind of regroup after having a tough run in the playoffs last year. You know, playing a lot of games into deep into October, it hasn't really changed them. They're playing at an extremely high level. you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis questionable every night, doesn't matter. LeBron shows up and just was absolutely ridiculously good against the Bucks last Thursday night. I think that this is going to continue to be, the Lakers, driving the ship here. And then the major interesting question from a handicapping standpoint is going to be who wins the East. And, so far I haven't seen enough out of Brooklyn or enough out of the Milwaukee Bucks to say that there isn't, the chance that someone like a Boston or someone like a Philadelphia can't sneak in there and make some noise. And then a team like the Miami Heat, who's been kind of no-shows all season, they could be lurking, slip into the playoffs like a 7 seed, 6 seed, something like that, and they're going to be a tough out. So the East looks pretty wide open to me, but I think the West is the Lakers to lose, and realistically the NBA title is the Lakers to lose.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Whale, and I kind of agree on the Eastern Conference, and we have a lot of teams in action tonight. We maybe go through some of the games here in a little bit and unpack, like you mentioned, Brooklyn and Miami and Boston and Philly, who, some of those guys are going to start getting star players back, Jimmy Butler, et cetera. But the first part of your answer there I thought was really interesting, right? The idea of motivation, the idea of like, this is such an, it's basically an impossible thing to handicap, yet on a night in, night out basis in the first month of the season, you mentioned we frequently saw teams underperform versus expectation, wildly. We saw underdogs went outright a lot of the time. The other dynamic unique to this season. So, okay, we can't handicap motivation, like impossible to try. You're going to get it wrong as often as you get it right. One thing we can try to do, these, what Nick and I have started calling duplex games. This is just a completely unique dynamic to this season that is really like flummoxing me. It's like making it difficult for me to make good betting decisions, I think, in the NBA. This idea of these two teams play on a given night, then either the next night or two nights later in the same arena, they play again with basically no time between the games. They don't play.
And I hate the fact that Ken came up with that, and I'd love to take the credit for it, but I can't because it's really good. And I want to take the credit for all things that are good, but unfortunately that's a Ken Barkley original.
Right. So Nick gets Packers early, Bucks late, and Bills outright. And meanwhile, I get to take credit for the duplex.
Yeah, I mean, you gave me the losers and you get the winner, man. So I think you're coming out on top here.
This is what we like to see. So these duplex games, well, like, how have you, first of all, have you noticed anything in the rematch, especially, that's behaving differently? Team that lost the first game seems to be getting at least a ton of public support in the second game. Maybe they're not winning more frequently, but just kind of how have you approached those games differently than normal games in a normal season?
I think I'm like you in that it's just scrambling my brain. I've been staying away from them entirely because I'm like, this, you get the same market. The market, sometimes it reacts to the first game, sometimes it doesn't. I never really know why it does and why it doesn't. Like, it's very, very tough to draw any signal out of these. And some games in the second matchup, we've seen intensities go up because, there's like chippiness between the players and, whatever was going on the court in game one carries in game two, and it provides just a very fun, exciting game with lots of drama. And then we've seen the exact opposite too, where it's like guys are like, really, we got to go play these guys again? All right, fine, I don't really care tonight. It's really, really scrambling me, and I have mostly just been staying away. And I think, if you're gonna go into it like, okay, I'm gonna handicap these two games and try to try to hit them both, and you watch the first game carefully, you could probably pick up some important stuff. I mean, almost certainly there are going to be, rotation mismatches and things like that. And, if you have a good coach in game one and things are exploited and it's a pretty clear, obvious, oh, well, they just need to rotate this guy onto this guy and that solves that problem. Then in game two, going back and trying to look for a zigzag sort of, outcome is totally fair. And then similarly, if it's, if you have a coaching staff that you don't especially agree with or the reason that they lost, it wasn't schematic, it was just talent gap, and maybe the second one is a rerun, And I guess I haven't really, identified anything that I think is actionable yet. But you're right in that these kind of standalone duplex games have made it extremely tough to handicap because, they make up like a quarter of the games. it's really been a weird schedule to say the least. And, in years past, I've used schedule advantage, disadvantage spots as a layer to try to help suss out an edge in the NBA. And so far this season, it's not meaning anything because everybody's playing all the time and everybody's tired all the time. And it's much more about, just who's available on a given night is the only thing that's really coming to matter one way or the other. And, I don't even know that there's somebody out there who's just making money hand over fist in the NBA right now either, because I've seen some market steam just get absolutely abused. and then other times be, you know, spot on. So I think it's been a weird season for everybody, including the players. And, you know, I think it's still fun to bet the regular season. It's going to be the only thing going for a little while here now that we, you know, we're out of the NFL. But there's a lot to learn still about, you know, how some of these teams are going to be come playoff time.
There's no doubt about it. And well, listen, man, we still got college hoops, and we'll break some of those games coming up next hour. And, you know, you said no one's been killing the NBA. Just wait till our power hour today when we go 10-0 and we win every single game on the board. That's probably not going to happen. You're listening to You Better, You Bet. Or maybe you're watching us also. If you're watching us, you're listening to and watching You Better, You Bet on the brand new Bet, the BetQL audio network, radio.com sports, the radio.com app. Shout out to our new listeners, 1430, hello, Denver, and 93.1 HD3 in Los Angeles. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, Lockie Lockerson, joined by the Whale Capper at @Whale_Capper on Twitter. Our friend Drew Dinsick, talking National Basketball Association. All right, Whale, we got 10 games on the board today.
Yeah.
Got about 3 minutes to go. Anything stand out to you? What do you like tonight and why? And we got new listeners right now in Denver and LA, and we know they would love some winners from our guy, the Whale Capper. So no extra or added pressure here, but you need to.
You know what's crazy? The three sides that I played today, it's a good karma agreement with the You Better You Bet product right now. I like Chicago, I like Denver, I like LA. Those are the three sides I played. I'm not joking. I think we'll start with Chicago. You know, it's been pretty clear and it's been interesting, and you know, the credit to the Celtics for, you know, for succeeding it, you know, through a very difficult opening portion of their season. I don't like what I'm seeing so far out of, you know, some of their primary ball handlers. You know, pretty clearly Kemba Walker is not 100%. They're trying to have him play through it. You know, the absences, I mean, other than Brown, who's taken a huge step forward this season, I think there are a lot of weaknesses with this roster overall. And I think the Chicago Bulls are very, very live. I like the integration of the some of the veterans with some of the, you know, the youth movement that they have going on there. And I think, you know, in general, a little bit less fatigue, a little bit less injury issues going on. So Chicago is a live dog. I played them at 4. I think that's still pretty much widely available. And then Denver going up against Dallas, probably the marquee matchup of the night. Every time these two teams get together, it does feel like the intensity is way, way up. Denver, one of the hotter teams in the league right now, coming off of 2 overtime wins against the Phoenix Suns in those back-to-back games. And Nikola Jokic playing at a clear MVP level, taking on, you know, a team that does not defend the big man well at all.
How did you pronounce his name? How did you pronounce Jokic's name or no? How did you pronounce that name?
Nikola Jokic.
I thought you said Nikolai, like Nikolai Volkov. That was a little closer. Nikola Jokic. That was okay.
Nikola.
There you go.
Nikola Jokic. The Croatian one.
Please go ahead with the cap. Yep.
But yeah, I like Denver in this spot. I think Dallas, absolutely, they struggle to defend the big man. You're finally starting to see, you know, Jamal Murray sort of come back to the player that we, you know, some of the excellence that we saw from him in the playoff bubble last year. You know, Will Barton is making a meaningful comeback attempt here for the Nuggets, and overall they're just a deeper, better team. So I think they get the better of the Dallas Mavericks tonight and win outright. And then the LA Lakers, one of the
got about 30 seconds here, Will, for the final game.
Yeah. Lakers taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers, you know, are a very strange roster, very strange fit. They have very little ability to defend the perimeter, which is the way that the Lakers are getting all their baskets right now. So this sets up very well for the Lakers just to shoot them out of the building. Fresh legs for the Lakers in general overall. A little bit more fatigue on the Cavaliers right now. So I think I laid the points with the Lakers. I took the points with the Bulls. And I'm on the money line for the Denver Nuggets.
There you have it. The three picks for the NBA tonight from our buddy Drew Dinsick at @Whale_Capper. Everyone check out Whale's podcast, the Deep Dive Podcast. You can subscribe to that and check out Drew's work at NBC Sports and Roto World. Drew, thanks for being the first guest on the Bet. You Better You Bet. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me, and congratulations again, and best of luck, fellas.
Listen, if there's anything I love, it's congratulations. We appreciate that from our buddy, Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper. We'll take a quick break here on You Better You Bet on the Bet. And when we come back, it's a conversation with our friend Will Brinson from CBS Sports. We're going to talk what we saw on Championship Sunday, and we'll get Will's thoughts on the Chiefs and the Buccaneers coming up in a couple weeks in the Super Bowl. You, dear listener and viewer, are locked and loaded to the Bet.